Welcome to Women of Power and Spirit. I'm your host, Misa Hopkins, and today we are talking with Sue London. Sue is known for helping people create the life they desire. She hosts a radio show on this topic called Get Inspired and empowers audiences through her dynamic motivational speaking. She encourages people to adopt a positive attitude and stay true to their dreams, as she has personally done so successfully in her own life. Sue is a Reiki master and spiritual life coach and provides distant healing services around the globe to both people and animals. In her earlier adult life, Sue experienced a series of challenges, including Crohn's disease, abuse, life or death pregnancy, a near-death experience, and being told she had 30 minutes to live. After all that, she learned her husband of 16 years had a girlfriend. So Sue got a divorce, became empowered, and took control of her own life. That is when the healing began. Sue's disease actually went away. And not only did she survive, but she went on to thrive and create an entirely new life. Sue wanted to help others cope with adversities in their life and wrote a book, Soar Above It All. This book weaves in her true life experiences with relationship issues, self-esteem challenges, back-to-back health threats, and coping with near death. She has also authored two children's books, and today she is going to help you learn tools and techniques that will help you create the life you desire. Sue can be contacted through her website, AskSueLondon.com. Welcome, Sue.
Hello there, my friend. How are you?
I am doing so well today, and I'm so excited to be chatting with you. So
I know. We have such good conversations, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. So I'm just excited to share with listeners you in, and also giving them some insights about your book and some deeper insights about those tremendous life experiences. I mean, Sue, any one of those could put one of us under.
Yes.
You know, for years,
yes.
Or our lives, or just go into depression and say, okay, that's it, I give up. And my gosh, talk about a dedication to life. You have just been there.
You know, I really, when I look back, you know, when I'm doing my motivational presentations, I'll say to the audience, this is everything I went through. And honestly, folks, I would not change a thing. I really mean that, because when I look now at the type of people that come to me for help, they're coming to me if they, you know, they have illness, or their children have illness, and they're maybe feeling guilty about what, you know, maybe they feel responsible for their child having cancer, that kind of thing. Women who are being abused, you know, trying to make the decision, do I leave my husband? I know he has a girlfriend. So the number of people that come to me, because I've experienced it, I can help that many more people. And it's so rewarding when I can say, if I can go through it, any of you can. And it really seems to comfort a lot of people in that way. So I'm really grateful that every challenge I had, it's really helped me to help a lot of people.
That's such a beautiful perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember my medicine teacher years ago saying, you will someday be okay with all these experiences that you've gone through, because you will be a better help to other people.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I truly believe we're transforming the energy, each of us, by going through these challenges.
And I can tell, like, honestly say, you know, to your listeners that when I was going through it, I did keep saying, why me? Why was it happening to me? And I can remember my doctor saying, one day you're going to know. Trust me, you will know, I promise. And, you know, I can remember actually having a police officer staying with me, because after I went through divorce, my ex-husband was stalking me. So he was there to protect me. And one of the things he said to me was, you know what, I think you're going to write a book or talk about this one day in your future. I'm not very psychic, but I think you might just find this might happen. And look at here we are today, right?
So, oh, my gosh.
All the seeds were planted.
Well, you did write a book. You wrote a book called Soar Above It All.
I did.
And you talk about the challenges you faced. So tell us some about that. What were some of the key challenges, and what was that like for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, basically, I would say my life changed on May the 1st, 1989. When I'd gone to my doctor, I had my first child March the 27th of 1988, and I started losing weight, and I thought, this is fantastic. You know, we're losing the baby fat that, you know, all new moms want to lose, right? And I lost about 60 pounds in less than 3 months. And the doctor started getting concerned. And so they did tests. So here, after many tests, finally on May the 1st, I was sitting in front of her, and she said they have the test results and that they had found I had Crohn's disease. And I just started seeing tunnel vision, thought I was going to faint, because I thought, I waited 4 years to have this beautiful baby girl. Like, I had some challenges getting pregnant, but then we found out later it was Crohn's related. And, you know, I kept saying, well, why? I was healthy all my life, and here, or so I thought, and here I have this baby, and now this disease, it's not fair. And I started questioning God, and, you know, why, and over. And so I went through a lot of challenges, both physically and emotionally, over that one diagnosis. And then when I was pregnant with my second child in 1993, it was almost like as soon as I got pregnant, I got very sick. And what happened, it was discovered that when a person has Crohn's disease and they get pregnant, the hormonal change can flare up the disease. And this is exactly what had happened for me. I was in remission, and then I got pregnant, and then it flared up. And I had, my weight went down to just 80 pounds. And I was in the hospital, and the doctor said that I had to make a choice, that either I was going to live or the baby was going to live, and I had to pick who.
Oh.
And I am a strong believer that everything in our life happens for a reason. And I said to the doctor, I was pregnant for a reason, and I was staying pregnant, and we would both, you know, survive, and we would both be healthy at the end of this. So I fired that doctor. I got a new doctor, and the new doctor prescribed my family to bring my dog, Rocky, down to the hospital, a little 14-pound Shih Tzu. And when Rocky came down to the hospital, just knowing that he was down there, something just filled me, this, I can't even describe the energy, but just knowing he was down there, it just filled me with strength that I was able to get out of bed and just kept focusing on seeing my dog. And I got myself down the hall while I'm still dragging an IV pole at 80 pounds. And, you know, I saw my dog, and just having him jumping up in my arms and licking my face, it was so healing for me. And that's when I really experienced pet therapy for the first time. And I went home 2 days after that experience with my dog at the hospital. And in March later that year, I delivered a beautiful, healthy baby girl. And she's now almost 19, and she's driving, and there's boys around. Every time she has a graduation or, you know, first prom, there's mom sitting crying, because I reflect back on, you know, what could have happened, you know, if I had have, you know, made a different choice. So I went through all of the challenges with my pregnancy, and then in 1996, I was feeling funny. My insides were feeling not right, and I went to the doctor, and they said I had a torn muscle. And I thought, I didn't know any different. I knew it was different than how I'd had feelings with Crohn's disease before. And what ended up happening was getting worse very quickly, and I went to the emerge at the hospital. While I'm sitting in the emerge department, I was there for 3 hours. All of a sudden, I just collapsed on the floor and passed out, and my intestine burst while I was there waiting to see a doctor.
Oh my.
And they got me in, and they said, oh, my gosh, your intestine has just burst. We're losing you, because my body was filled with toxins at this point, right? And so they asked me who I wanted to say goodbye to. And you talk about a real wake-up call for a person, that when you're told you have 30 minutes to live, you really look at what's really important in life. You know, you think differently. And then what happened, they were losing me, and I ended up having a near-death experience. And I went to the white light, you know, the tunnel where you hear many people say. And what happened, I was at a point where, yeah, I wasn't happy with my life, because in my marriage it was pretty bad. I wasn't sharing with people that my husband at the time was abusive. He was never around. I couldn't understand why. I never, ever thought that I was married to somebody who had affairs one after another. I just was kind of in denial that way. I thought it happens to everyone else. And so, but I just didn't have it all pieced together. I just knew there's something not right in my marriage. So I thought, what kind of a mom could I be? You know, always sick and in hospital. So I was really, you know, not in a good place. So when I was in the tunnel, I was ready to go. And my grandfather, who was my hero, my best friend, my mentor in life when he was with us, he could kick my butt. He could say anything. And I would just, he was the one that could get through to me, let's say that way.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, you know, Susie, it's not your time to come. He said, you have millions of people and animals you need to help heal. You need to go back. Your time is not yet. And something about him saying that really, really stuck with me, and it has just given me the courage and strength to get through whatever comes to me. And so I came back, and I was in the hospital at that point for about 5 months. And I came back, and I came home, and I learned that while I was in the hospital, my first husband had actually moved his girlfriend in because he thought he was losing me. So he thought he was, you know, it was kind of like get rid of me. So I found out that he did have a girlfriend, and that so then we went through a divorce. And that is when my new healing journey really began, and my real spiritual growth and you name it. And then that disease that doctors say is incurable, it is actually completely gone. You cannot, there's no sign of it at all. I've changed my life and everything about myself that much that the disease is gone. And I'm now happily remarried to a fantastic guy.
Yay!
All is wonderful.
That's a happy ending.
It is. It really. That's why I always like to say that, because I want people to know that, you know, I went through all of that stuff, and, you know, here I am having the perfect life that I never, ever thought I could have. And everyone can have that. You know, if I can do it, anybody can do it, I always say.
Okay, so how is it that you did it? What was it that kept you going? I mean, one of those would have been tough, but you had layers of them. So something inside must have kept you moving.
Well, you know, I really identified with Princess Diana. And I can remember one of her interviews, she said, you know, she felt she was born for some big purpose. And I can remember hearing an interview with her once saying that years earlier, and I thought, you know what, that's what I feel as well. People tell me I'm different, and I don't understand. And, like, you know, I see angels, and I connect with them, can communicate with them, and I, you know, do animal communication. I go up and talk to every animal. And I thought everyone could do that, you know, until I found out from others that not everyone could do that. So I would say that, you know, I knew I was different. And I knew that I was born for a reason. I didn't know what. When I finished high school, people were, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to be a doctor or an engineer or whatever. And I thought, I don't know who I'm supposed to be. But I really felt that there was a plan for my life, and I hung on to that. And then when I had the near-death experience, because my grandfather had such meaning, I'm sure that God and all his angels knew that by sending me that man in that white light, that was really going to stay with me. And it has. Anytime something new comes to me, you know, I always hear my grandfather saying, you know, you have millions of people and animals you need to help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that I'm protected. I know I'm doing the right thing because I'm being guided. And it's just like, bring it on. Whatever you want me to do next, I'll follow, take the action, and do. And this is kind of the secret behind everything I do. You know, I have balance in my life. I eat properly. I exercise. You know, I got out of that abusive relationship, and I had a lot of healing to do after that, which, you know, how I met my Mr. Right, I call him, was because I was working on myself, and I went to Toastmasters, and I, believe it or not, could never speak to two or three people at a time.
Oh, my.
I was so shy. And so what happened, I go to Toastmasters, and I meet this man, and here he says, well, I'll help you. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And the interesting part was this man's name is Ross, who is the same name as my grandfather.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What's even eerier is his favorite grandmother, her name is Susie. And that's
oh, my.
And so now, you know, Ross has worked with me as my mentor from Toastmasters, and you know, I haven't been at Toastmasters for years because I've, you know, I'm doing fine now, and I go on TV shows, I talk in front of large audiences, and it doesn't bother me. I have no fear anymore. And he openly tells people, yes, I am the one who's responsible for getting her. No, I can't set her up.
He deserves a little credit, doesn't he?
Oh, I give him total credit. Honestly, I do, because, you know, he totally was a gift, you know, from my grandfather, from, you know, God, all my angels. He was really, you know, has just been the, he completes me, I guess. Is that the best way to say it?
Mm-hmm.
We're just so perfect for each other.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, did you find that you had to do some pretty deep healing around that whole concept or issue of abuse that can kind of settle into our lives? Did you have to do some real healing around abuse?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know what? I had no confidence, and because my father was also emotionally abusive as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought it was me that was the problem. I never looked at, you know, we're all responsible for our own actions, or I didn't look that, you know, maybe that person had something inside of themselves that they weren't healing, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just personally took it all on. And I had so many worthy issues. I can remember this friend of mine, he was a coach, and he said to me, okay, what I want you to do, the first step to your healing is to start loving yourself. And I said, okay, I can do that. And he says, okay, well, let's see how you can do. And so he said, I want you to go home. I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to say, I love you, Sue. Well, I looked in the mirror. I started saying it. I threw up in the sink. I couldn't do it. It took me about 3 weeks of going into the bathroom in front of that mirror, and every time I'd get in the bathroom, I'd look in front of the mirror, and I could not say it. So finally, 3 weeks later, I got in front of the mirror, and I said, you know what, Sue, I so much love you, and you're such a great person. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. It was such a healing moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can get in front of the mirror, and, oh, gosh, I can say I'm having a good hair day, and, you know, I can just really go on about how good I am. So, you know, I've really come a long way from that. And, you know, now my kids will see me in front of the mirror and they just shake their head and say, oh, Mom is so weird, you know.
Oh, you know you've reached a pinnacle when they think you're weird.
Exactly.
that's wonderful.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's a powerful story, Sue. You know, I encounter a lot of women who say, well, how do I find love for myself? And it has struck me about what a journey that is for so many of us, that we don't know how to do it ourselves. So we're running around looking for somebody to love us, but it never quite sinks in, because it's got to start with us.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You have to start the process on yourself. I know for me, I was not even going to consider getting into another relationship after my ex left. And, you know, I wanted to take time. I wanted to learn who I was. I wanted to, you know, really look at what was causing Crohn's disease, what's behind it. And I, you know, I really went deep. And, you know, if you go into Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, she talks about the meaning of diseases. And for Crohn's disease, it's all about fear of the unknown. I was such a worrier. I was always worried about the what ifs and suppose this happens. Gosh, suppose I'm late, this kind of stuff would always go through my mind. So when I just started changing my mindset to everything happens in our life for a reason, and I started an affirmation, change the way you look at things, and the things that you look at will change.
Uh-huh.
That affirmation, I put it on post-it notes, and I stuck it all through the house and in my vehicle. And so everywhere I went, I saw that, and I saw how I had to change my thinking. And that was going to help change my situations.
Uh-huh.
And so when I did all that, it was just basically, you know, I kept working on myself. And interestingly, how it fell in for me to go to Toastmasters is another meant to be. You know that saying, when you help somebody, it always comes back to help you in return?
Uh-huh.
Well, what happened, my doctor, my gastroenterologist, he had said to me after 3 months I was since I'd been diagnosed with the disease, he pulled me into his office and he said, look at, you know, he says, you need to know how healing you are for others. And I'm going to start sending you patients who have just been diagnosed with the disease because I know you can help them. I thought he was nuts. I even told him that. I said, you're crazy. I'm still struggling. How can I help somebody else? So one of these people he had sent to me was this man, and I helped him, you know, to change his thinking, and he went on to do pretty good. And I had met his wife. My wife had called me wanting me to help her understand how bad the pain was with this disease and, you know, what kind of things is our mindset, and because there's a lot of emotional stuff with this disease as well as the physical. And so here I helped them, and it was 7 years after, it was probably about 7 years after I had helped him, where here it was, this friend of mine that told me to look in the mirror and say, I love you. He said to me, you know, you really should look at going to this club Toastmasters, because that's going to really help you to build your confidence and help you to be able to speak in front of people, at least a couple people at a time, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, no way, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. Like, no way, I cannot. I was so fearful. Mm-hmm. And so what happened, this wife to the man I helped, I ran into her 7 times in one day. And I never ran into her for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, one day, 7 times. And so finally, you know, I said to her, look, you know, I'm a believer we run into each other for a reason. And the amount of times we've done this, there's a reason. And I said, is there anything you need? And she said, oh, no, I don't think so. And she said, is there anything you need? And I said, no, I don't think so. Meanwhile, I'm trying to find the phone number for Toastmasters. But I didn't want to, I was digging my heels in, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so I saw her again. It was like half an hour later. And I said, well, okay, you know what? Maybe we're supposed to see each other because I am looking for this number, but I'm kind of digging my heels in about it. And so she said, oh, well, if I find it, I'll let you know. So I get home, my phone's ringing, and it's this lady, Diane. And Diane said, hey, I've got the number for you. So I call the number, and it turns out to be my future husband's phone number.
Oh, that's great.
How
I love it.
What happened was I phoned, and Ross is his name, and I phoned Ross, and I said, you know, this is who I am. I want to find out about Toastmasters. And he said, I have to ask you a question first. He said, how did you get my number? And I said, well, I helped this lady and this husband and this lady, and I told the whole story. And he said, you need to know that my phone number has never been published in anywhere because I'm the president of the club. And there's another person that their number's normally published. He said, no one has ever seen my number. It's never out there. And so here, talk about a lot of, you know, divine intervention happening. This woman I run into, she gets the number. She gives me Ross's cell phone number. And we talk. And, you know, he becomes my mentor, helps me over my fear of speaking, and becomes my future husband.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I'm hearing in this sharing is that there is an opening that occurs when we begin to really become dedicated to our healing, to our wellness, to self-love. It's as though all of those synchronicities start falling into place for us effortlessly, simply in the commitment itself, that it creates a doorway. Is that at all what you've experienced? Would that be a fair description?
Oh, for sure. I mean, even now, it's like I can think a thought, and, okay, I need somebody to help me with this. And I'll start putting the intention out. I'll start asking God. I'll start praying for it. I'll ask my angels to help me. And it's within hours, you know, I can attract the right publicist. I attracted, you know, the radio station I'm on now. It's a local AM station out of Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York. I have 1 million listeners to my show. So what did my grandfather say in the tunnel? Susie, you have millions of people you need to help.
Uh-huh.
And here, my radio show alone, I've got 1 million listeners. So I don't limit myself. Like I always, you know, when I'm asking for something, I always say for my highest good because, you know, they know better than we do what we need. And sometimes, you know, I would think, okay, if I just say I want this, I was limiting myself. Uh-huh. So I've just got myself open and letting it come to me. I watch how I feel when something comes, and it just opens one door after another.
Uh-huh.
It's phenomenal. My husband says he's not married to a wife. He's married to an adventure because he never knows what we're going to do next or who we're going to be.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Does that tell you at all, right?
That's great. So from struggle to adventure, from suffering to joy, I'm really hearing some big contrasts here.
Oh, for sure.
Big leaps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what happens for us now is that we'll get phone calls and we are being sent on these trips. We're being asked to go on these like free vacations. We went on our honeymoon. My vision when I was sick was that one day I had hoped to go to Hawaii. That, you know, I just, there was something about that place I really wanted to go, and I would visualize one day I was healthy and I would go there. And on our honeymoon, Ross and I went there, and it was an all-expense-paid trip for 3 weeks. That was a gift from, you know, some of his family, and it was wonderful.
Oh.
And when we landed on that Maui runway, I was crying my heart out. And he knew my story, so he knew what it was all about. And I was just so grateful that I was healthy. I was with Mr. Wright, and, you know, it was going to be wonderful. And
tears of joy.
Oh, my gosh, I was flooding. Like, you would have thought, like, what's this all right? So what happened, when we go to Hawaii, we're there and we experience a tropical storm. And, you know, we're thinking, oh, Lord, like, we've never been in something like this before. And some locals came to check on us and said, this is God's way of trimming the trees because he didn't want to see people getting hurt from the coconuts. So he would, you know, trim the trees this way by shaking the trees so much with the wind, right? So I thought, what an amazing way to look at a situation. So, you know, we talked to some people that day, and then later that night, we had lost power. There was no way to cook. We couldn't go to the luau, any of the events we were booked for. So the only place we could go was this one area by the pool, other than staying in our room. The wind had died down a bit at this point. And when we were at the pool, we went, and there was a couple that their son was struggling with cancer. And, again, it just, I always ask, you know, God and his angels to put me in the right place. And all of a sudden, they just started opening up with us. You know, they said, you know, I don't know who you people are, but we just, you know, feel we can talk to you. And they opened up, and they told us about their son. And, you know, Ross and I basically were kind of helping them, supporting them, you know, giving a hug and sharing some support for them. And so now the son is doing great. The cancer's in remission. He's started this program to help kids. But that trip was, you know, yes, our honeymoon. Yes, that was really teaching us new thinking, you know, but there to help someone. So we go on that trip and we're home, gosh, maybe 4 months, and we get a phone call, would we like to go to Las Vegas for a free trip? And we thought, you know, I'm not really into Las Vegas because when you compare that to Hawaii, there's no comparison to me anyways. I don't smoke or drink or gamble, so I didn't know what it was going to be like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at first I started saying, well, no, let's not do this. And then all of a sudden I felt this inner guidance say, you need to go and you need to take your 11-year-old daughter. And the baby that doctor said, you know, I wasn't supposed to have, remember?
Mm-hmm.
This now baby was 11 years old. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, seems strange we're taking our daughter to Las Vegas. But we went, the three of us went, and we're at this point now, we know that every time we go somewhere, we're always going to help someone. So we were kind of on the lookout why we were being sent there to help someone. And what ended up happening about day three, someone came up to us and they said that, you know, they wanted to give us tickets for a dinner that they couldn't go to, and they wanted to give us these tickets for dinner. And so we took the tickets, you know, very grateful, and we were standing in line at this restaurant, and I said to Ross, oh, my gosh, I think the reason why we're here is standing right behind you. And my heart, as I was saying that, was feeling really heavy, and I was feeling a lot of sorrow. And so Ross has learned something about me that when something is meant to be, I get this funny look on my face.
Mm.
And so I had the funny look on my face, he said. And so he knew that there was something more about this. So he leaned in, you know, turned around, and he said to the man, you know, you look like you're alone. Would you like to join us for dinner? And, of course, the man was, like, not expecting this at all. He was 70, 74, mid-70s age, by himself, And he just didn't expect this. And so with some coaxing, Ross, you know, said, come join us, that we'd like to meet new people. So the man sat down with us, and the whole time my heart's feeling really heavy. And then he said he wanted to thank us, that here in Las Vegas, he said, you know, he was having such a hard time being on that trip, and that you just never meet people that will stop to invite you for a meal like what we had done for him. And he started to tell us that, you know, he was really grateful for us coming along because he was on that weekend trip fulfilling his wife's dying wish. She had died 3 months earlier, and the wish was that he continue to go to their location, their travel holiday place, they'd done for 40-some-odd years. So she had just passed away 3 months earlier, and here the first time he's away without her, and it's where they would always go. So the memories were flooding back for him. He was a mess. And he said, you know, when we came along, it was really helping him to get through these difficult days. And so then I said, you know, if you had a wish, something kind of told me to ask him, if you have a wish, what would that wish be? And so he said he really wished he could make his 11-year-old granddaughter a sundae. And he, because of his age and how he was getting more frail and that, he said it was too much for him to come to the East Coast, and that that was all he wanted before he died, just to make this sundae with her. And right away, as soon as my 11-year-old daughter heard that, she got up, took his hand, and said, what will I do? How about you make the sundae for me? And you've never seen a pair of parents, like, cry in your life. Both of us, we were so proud of her. And we watched this man, tears were rolling down his face as he's making this sundae for her. And it was just incredible, you know, how healing and, you know, it was for him. And, you know, we finished our conversation and our meal, and we gave him a hug, and he cried some more. He said it had been such a long time since he had been hugged. And, you know, I hugged him, and then our daughter hugged him, and then he went to shake Ross's hands, and he said, no, I'm a hugger too. And he cried in each one of our arms. And we knew that that whole trip was about just being sent there to help that man. And I would say we probably have about 9 to 10 trips a year like that every year now.
Oh, how wonderful. You're really emissaries, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ambassadors
amazing,
for love.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And your willingness, your ability to open so fully to your inner guidance.
Well, that's important. That's really important.
So did you find that as you moved through the healing and the struggle, I know that there isn't always another side. We always have a little bit of healing to do or struggle in our lives. It's not like it ends. But there is a place where we're experiencing more service, more joy, more happiness than we are caught in the struggle.
Yeah.
Did you find that your own gifts flourished? And I mean like the psychic intuitive gifts, that your inner guidance flourished. Did that come along with that healing?
Everything. I mean, I always had the gift as a child that I would get a thought and it would grow into something. And I didn't know I had like a psychic ability. I know now I do. And I always was able to, you know, see loved ones on the other side. Kind of like, you know, that movie Sixth Sense or Ghost Whisperer, the show, where they say, I see dead people. You know, that kind of, that has always happened for me. But I think now it's more like with that, even though I saw it, I would try and block it because it scared me in the past.
Oh,
where
sure.
Now it's like they're there to help me help you. So I'm okay with them. I don't have to hold the fear. So I would find that, you know, I was getting the stronger messages, I guess you could say. So that grew. And then as I found that I would exercise, have the balance, and eat properly, my healing abilities, I've always been a natural healer, and then even when I did my Reiki training, that opened me more. And then when I took my next level Reiki, that opened me even more. And then when I became a master, that was like, oh, my dog's talking to me in the backyard telling me they weren't coming in until I gave them a treat. So, you know, and that was really interesting too. You know, so I would say that, you know, as I, you know, I work on myself to continuously keep the balance and now it's down to, you know, really having that, the balance with the exercise and the eating, that's where I'm growing even more. And because I've taken away the fear, I know that, you know, I'm born for the reason of helping millions around the world and, you know, get out of myself and just do the work I was born here to do.
And that creates such an experience of freedom, and clearly your expression of compassion in the world and the way that you're able to touch lives is profound, because you are fully present, all of you.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's, I think, one of the gifts of releasing the struggle is then you really get to show up fully.
Yeah, well, exactly. And see, I was never in the present moment years ago. I was always so busy worrying about what was going to happen in the future, or what had happened and how I could do it differently. But when I got myself present, that's when I became more aware of everything, you know, and you don't have those negative emotions holding you back, because, you know, each minute is something new.
And each minute is so precious, and I really hear how you enjoy and live fully in every moment of life.
Oh, you know, it's kind of my family really think I'm weird. They love me. But when it comes to my birthday, I will take the calendars in, all my girls' calendars and my step girls, and my husband's calendar and friends' calendars. All right, November 23rd, Sue's birthday. Big holiday, national holiday. Don't forget, because it's Sue's birthday. I guess I announced it on one of my shows in this one year, and I said, yeah, y'all can have the day off because it's my birthday, it's a national holiday. I'm so grateful to be alive that, you know, I was taking that day to celebrate that I was waking up and breathing, right? And my kids just, again, said, you know, that's our weird mom, you know. But to me, it's really, really a big day. It's bigger than Christmas for me, because I'm here and I'm alive.
Oh, how beautiful. So, Sue, how do you help others find that place inside of themselves where they start breaking free and really living in the love that they are here to be and experience? How do you do that?
I'm a spiritual life coach. Now, saying that, I've started having people coming to me to help them get their businesses going and help them to become radio hosts themselves. So I'm helping people that way. Being a Reiki master, I have people that ask me to send healing for themselves, for people, and as well as I work on animals. And I teach people how to connect with their angels and the loved ones that are with them. Because a lot of people, you know, if they just have to get themselves present and then see, you know, all the signs around them, and to connect with their loved ones, so I can help them with that. As a motivational speaker, I'm out there doing motivational talks. I can't tell you how many people come up to me after and share, you know, their secret of a planned suicide. And they'll tell me that if I could go through everything I did, that it's really not that bad what they're going through, they'll say. So as a motivational speaker, I do that. And then as a radio host, my show Get Inspired Radio is heard every Thursday. You can hear it anywhere in the world through transformationtalkradio.com. And you can also, if you're in local Rhode Island, New York, and Connecticut, you can connect to it to WBLQ 1230 AM radio. And, and what I'm in the process now doing, once I get my new website converted, then I'm going to be starting it's like you can sign up a membership to receive videos from me once a week, videos of inspiration, videos of tools and techniques to help you to grow to the next level, you know, just maybe simple poems, messages, affirmations, and then, so that's what's coming up in the very near future, and there's more to come, but I'm just kind of waiting for God and his angels to lead me the way.
There you go. You're following your guidance so beautifully.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful gifts. And obviously touch people's lives in such a profound way. I know you've certainly been touching my life. It's been so fun to just want to speak from my personal experience. What I delight about being in your presence is that I'm watching my own awareness brighten. It's like ideas and thoughts and knowledge that have been there are just waking up and saying, oh, now's the time. Let's get going. Let's get this happening. So you bring a spark and a fire, certainly, into my consciousness, and I consider myself to be pretty conscious, but I'm like, oh, my gosh, you are wonderful. So,
well, I think I've told you before, some of my friends say, oh, we're hopping on the Sue London train. Because
I think so. I think it's happening.
So funny. Or, you know, like I like to say to people that, you know, if I'm coaching you, I'm going to kick your butt because I'm going to help you to be the full potential that you have within you, but I'm going to do it in a real loving way. And so it's funny how people will come back to me years later and they'll say, I'm doing so awesome. You don't have to kick my butt because I'm doing great. So when I say, you know, I'm going to kick your butt, but in a loving way, it's because, you know, I love you and I want to see you to reach that. And I think this is the time now for all of us to step into our power and, you know, make a positive difference in the world, that we were all born as a gift to, you know, do something big in the world. And that something big could be, you know, maybe just helping someone across the street, or, you know, as a teacher, maybe helping a child or something. You know, it doesn't have to be something like standing on stage in front of 5,000 people or being a radio host. We all can do something in our world to make a difference.
I think that's so true, and I appreciate the way that you've approached that, because I think it's easy for us to get locked into, oh, I have to be a best-selling author, or I need to be, you know, a global speaker. That's really making a difference. But taking care of my mother-in-law, who only has a few more years to live, that's not enough. And I think especially for us as women, where we may have made a commitment to be in service to our children or be in service to a few people, or we're doing a nonprofit job, feeding the hungry, it's easy sometimes to look at that and say, oh, but that's not as important or as significant. And those kinds of gifts, and that's really what you were talking about in your examples, that willingness to travel and just be present to who is in need of service in this moment, is ultimately the most that we'll ever do. And it's a tremendous gift, every little act and every big one.
You know, what's really interesting is that I had a block there for a very long time, that I was kind of raised with the mindset, if you have children, you should be staying home to raise them, and you put your lifetime focus on raising these children. So when I started soaring and growing, there was that words of my mother coming out saying, you're supposed to be doing this. So in the beginning, when I first started, it was like, no, I can't do this because I have to be there for my kids. But anyone listening who's in that place, I can tell you that once I shifted that mind thinking to being, no, I'm still there for my kids because I have balance, and saying that, you know what, I'm going to be an example to my kids. Because when my kids started seeing me doing new things and stepping out of my comfort zone, it helped them to grow because I was being their example. And now my kids, they literally will try things new and not hold back, because they're kind of seeing, you know, I'm their example and this is what's happening for mom. So, you know, they are very proud of me. They respect and honor me. And we still do have that quality time that I was afraid maybe we would lose.
Well, it really is being in true service to them, because they need that kind of modeling.
Yes. Yeah,
they need that. I remember my mother coming back to me in a dream years later when I was struggling with the next step in my business growth, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom that took care of us. Hmm. And in the dream, she was a successful businesswoman. And I laughed when I woke up, Sue, because I went, oh, my gosh, she's showing me that wasn't the example that she was.
Yeah.
When we were together on earth, but that is the example she is willing to be for me now. She's giving me my kick in the butt.
Yeah. And you know, I have a little grandson now. I have a 5-year-old grandson. He's just the apple, the sparkle in my eyes. And he calls me beautiful grandma.
Oh, I love it.
Darling. And we were talking with him last week, starting kindergarten, and I said, you know, Rye, that when you start kindergarten and if you can't get a hold of mommy, then your school has to call grandma. And I said, now, what's grandma's name? Because we're trying to get him, you know, for safety reasons to know our names and not just grandma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, well, that's easy. Your name is Beautiful Grandma. And I said, no, hon, it's actually Sue London. He goes, no. He says, you're Beautiful Grandma. And I thought it was so precious because in his eyes, I'm his beautiful grandma. And so my daughter says, Mom, don't worry. We'll keep working on that. But in his knapsack, she's put, you know, Grandma is Sue London, you know. With
somewhere.
He's so adamant, you know, there's no way your name is Sue London, your beautiful grandma.
Yeah, how could you be so confused?
I know. He's so precious. So I love kids and the fact that, you know, this is my next generation. And I was there when he was born. I helped deliver him.
Oh, how wonderful.
He really, you know, it's amazing.
Well, they need us. They need us for their inspiration. And that is, in effect, living and being what we came here to live and what we came here to be. And so he's a lucky little guy. He may not know. Well, he does know it yet. He knows he has a beautiful grandma. He knows how lucky he is.
You know, he'll phone me and he'll say, I think you've been working hard enough, Grandma. I think you need to take a day off and then we just chill. And, you know, I'll look at my schedule. And honestly, I will tell you that if it's a Friday and I'm not busy, then I will take that day off because I know life is so short. And, you know, if I want to spend that time with my grandson or my daughters or my husband, I'll take that time because I found that, you know, when I take that time and honor myself and be there and have that balance, it's like God and his angels are still working for me and I can come home and see, gosh, I've been booked to go on a TV show or I've been booked for a new client wants to work with me. So I guess to sum that up, you can work smart, not hard, and still have.
Oh, beautiful.
Right?
Oh, it's excellent advice. Sue, is there one last thought that you'd like to leave with us today?
Well, I would just say, you know, to kind of everything that I'm saying, it's really important, be grateful for the little things that you have in your life. You know, my daughter taught me, Mom, smell the flower. One day when she was three, smell the flowers. That's what's important. It's the little things that are important, and that's what we want to always remember and be grateful for them. If you woke up this morning and you're breathing, that's pretty important. You know, so if it's raining, who cares? But you woke up and you're breathing. So these things are what's really important. And just know that our life is a journey, that everything does happen in our life for a reason. And just take and learn from your lessons, and then you will grow from your challenges. And like me, every one of you listening can create the life that you desire. So just, you know, hold those thoughts and grow, and, you know, don't let any of the negativity or the fear or that hold you back, because you're all born here for a reason, and that's, you know, to live your mission and go do it. It's really rewarding. Take it from me.
Oh, beautifully said. Well, thank you so much, Sue. Lots of inspiration today. And just thank you for sharing from the authenticity of you and your story and your life. And on behalf of everybody who's been listening, thank you for being you and doing this beautiful work in the world.
Well, thank you. It's really been my honor being here with you and sharing with your listeners. I just love when I can help somebody else, you know, to move forward in their journey. And, you know, then, you know, any of you listening, when you change, pay it forward and help someone else, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And listeners, you can connect with Sue at her website, AskSueLondon.com. Again, that's AskSueLondon.com. So I want to thank everyone who's listening today, everyone who is attentive to this beautiful journey. In whatever way you're able to be attentive in this moment, because it's our attention to where we are in the moment that really is making the difference and the great transformation on this planet today into a world of true beauty, the paradise on earth that was given to us and that is ours to experience if we choose. And for all of us, may love, compassion, and truth prevail in our lives today and every day. Goodbye, everyone.